Welcome to episode 458 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard, and this is the show where we talk about consumer entertainment technology. This week, it's just me. Richard is preparing to head off to San Diego for the CEDIA conference. That is a home automation conference, more specifically focused at the custom integrator market, but there's a lot more DIY smart home stuff happening there. And there's also a lot of audio video stuff that happens at CEDIA every year. So you'll want to check out the latest Home On when that comes out to hear about all of the great things that Richard is finding at CEDIA. But that means that tonight I'm left without a co-host, but I think that's okay. Not a lot of news to discuss, but some important things to hit on. And because you guys are amazing, a couple of pieces of feedback to discuss too. One of these was sent into our email inboxes at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. And the other one was left as a comment on the blog post over at the DMZ. So they both follow kind of similar trends. The first one is from Al, and he says, I've been a listener for many years and even had the opportunity to meet you in person at a home server show meetup several years back. Thanks for all you do. Al, you're welcome. We do it for you guys. He says, I'm a bit troubled by the addition of PlayStation 4 gaming segment. Please don't turn this into another gaming podcast. I understand the inclusion of the Xbox and PlayStation from a digital entertainment perspective, but I rely on this channel for information and guidance on the ever-evolving digital entertainment universe. In terms of cord cutting, it's not an all or nothing. I've cut my cord cost by 2/3 by simply having a basic cable with DVR on just one hookup. It's a good DVR with full channel guide and most of the programming that my family wants, and then we supplement it with Netflix, Amazon, and YouTube. Maybe call this a one cord option. At roughly $30 a month, it's not much more than a PlayStation View, Hulu, or Sling option. Actually, that's a lot cheaper than some of those options. I would also lose my bundle, and by that he means like his internet bundle deal with internet and cable TV and perhaps phone. So the net cost savings would be reduced. For my other set, for his other TV, I went with a ChannelMaster Clearstream Plus dual tuner DVR with Android TV. You should check it out. It has the full Google channel guide with no ongoing cost for the guide. This set is in my workshop and is mainly used to watch football and hockey games while I am tinkering around. Al, thanks for the message. Yeah, those ChannelMaster DVRs look pretty nice, especially that new one. I believe the one that you're talking about is the one that we got to check out at CES this year. And yeah, the channels TV interface on Android TV is actually pretty nice. It is a very standard grid guide that most people are used to. So I'm not surprised to find that you like it and that it's working out well for you. With regard to your PlayStation concerns, have no fear. We're always evaluating how to make some changes, and we're even making some changes which we think will make the show a little bit better this particular episode. So don't worry too much about this turning into a gaming podcast. That's not going to happen. This is definitely going to be a wider focus consumer entertainment technology podcast in general. This is not going to turn into a general gaming podcast. We also got a message from Christian. He says, hey guys, I discovered the podcast around a year ago and started listening weekly because of the discussions on Plex. And then I started to really enjoy hearing what's going on in your entertainment centers and what you're watching. I'm really enjoying you opening up the topics to more entertainment and home theater. Keep up the awesome podcast and more Plex and home theater discussions. Christian, thanks for the message. Frankly, it's kind of hard to imagine more Plex discussions on Entertainment 2.0, but I'm sure there will be plenty more in the future. Although, I just realized we don't have any Plex news this week, and that is actually kind of amazing. So sorry to bum you out on that front, Christian, but I think you're still going to dig what we have in store for you. So let's just get right into our news for tonight. Our first video news topic comes to us from the Xbox Wire, and that is news around the latest system update for the Xbox One. No, this is not gaming news. This is video news here, and I think this is kind of big news. So the 1810 system update. So this is going to be the main fall update. The numbers there specify the year and the month of the year. It's rolling out to some insiders. This specific update is going to Alpha Skip Ahead and Alpha Rings. Those are the top two rings, the users that are getting the most frequent updates. They're also the least stable updates. So if you're not in one of those builds, it's probably for the best anyway. But they've got some new features, and the most exciting one, without a doubt, is Dolby Vision support has finally made it to the Xbox One. It's not perfect, but it's a big leap forward because we have it at all. For those of you who have been following along for a while, pretty much ever since the Xbox One S came out, actually a little over 2 years ago, the Xbox One S and then the subsequently released Xbox One X supported HDR10 for high dynamic range video, but that's it. And now we're going to see Dolby Vision support. Dolby Vision, you know, we talked a little bit about Dolby Vision last week. It is basically the better of the HDR formats because with HDR through Dolby Vision, all of that metadata for how to display the picture in terms of what areas of the picture are brighter and darker and things like that, all the things that make HDR shows really pop, with Dolby Vision, all of that, those settings, all of that metadata can be applied on a per frame basis. So it can constantly be changing, which usually results in a better picture and a better experience. HDR10, it's a more basic format, a little bit more standard, a little easier to implement, but it specifies one set of settings for the entire film. So that's what makes Dolby Vision a little better. And now we're getting it. Now, it's not throughout the entire system. Your games aren't going to be Dolby Vision, and not every app. It's starting with just the Netflix app. And of course, to get HDR in Netflix, you're also going to need to be paying for that top level, premium level Netflix subscription. To make sure that you can actually use this, you're going to have to go into your system settings, go into the display and sound settings, and you're going to find a new checkbox on that page that's labeled Allow Dolby Vision. You turn that on and it should just work. Now, should is kind of a key word there because not every TV is going to work and not every AV receiver necessarily is going to work. Dolby has provided a list of all of the supported TVs, which when I first read that, I thought that's got to be like an insanely huge list because there are so many TVs out there nowadays that support HDR. And most TVs that support HDR do support Dolby Vision. Unfortunately, this list is much shorter than I expected. It's mostly LG and Sony sets. You're not going to find any Vizio sets. You're not going to find any Samsung TVs in there either. And this is an issue that some publications have been making a really big deal about. Frankly, I don't know if it's worth making that big of a deal about it yet. Partly because I don't know if it's really accurate. It seems kind of crazy to me that there would only be a couple dozen TVs that would support Dolby Vision in the way that the Xbox One has it implemented. That just seems crazy to me. If it is actually the case, though, the other thing to keep in mind is this is alpha level software. We're not even talking beta, let alone this thing being released to the general public. And that means Microsoft has plenty of time to make some changes to support more TVs. Of course, it's also possible that it's not really Microsoft's fault. Maybe there's something weird with most TVs, but I find that option to be kind of unlikely. There are many other streaming players and Blu-ray disc players that do support Dolby Vision on a much larger list of TVs than what this Xbox support document is actually showing. So I'm going to be a little bit chill here and just hope that by the time this actually releases to all users, which should be by October, so a little over a month from now probably, that that list is going to be much, much larger, because everyone with a 4K TV, they really all deserve Dolby Vision. So that's what I'm hoping for. The other thing that I'm hoping for is that Microsoft will also shortly release support for Dolby Vision within the UHD Blu-ray player app. There are 4K UHD Blu-ray discs that have Dolby Vision, and that's really going to be the absolute best experience you can get. So no announcements yet on when or whether or not this is even coming. I have to imagine it is coming, just not really sure how much longer we're going to need to wait. So hopefully, if it's already available inside the system for the Netflix app, I would think it's going to be coming to the Blu-ray app and other apps like perhaps Vudu and Amazon Prime Video shortly after this gets released. Last week was another huge technology conference. It was over in Berlin, Germany. It's called IFA. I honestly don't know what the letters stand for. It's probably in German, which means it's probably really long and I would have a hard time pronouncing it anyway. So we're just going to go with IFA here. Some of the biggest headlines that came out of IFA were 8K TVs from Samsung and LG. Lots of them. 8K. Yep, you're not hearing that wrong. 8K, not 4K. Samsung had some QLED TVs and LG had some OLED, some OLED TVs in 8K. And they, of course, look gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. No prices announced for any of these. No release dates announced for any of these. Should you get super excited? Should you be really mad if you just bought yourself a nice new 4K TV? The answer is no. We're going to link to a post over at Engadget because I think they've got this completely right. The headline that Engadget wrote is 8K TVs are coming, but ignore the hype. Frankly, that might not even be a strong enough headline. 8K TVs just don't make sense as we currently have TVs in our houses. For most people with a normal size television that they're going to put in their house, which for most people is in the 55 to 65 inch range, to see the difference between a 1080p and a 4K TV, you already have to be sitting within about 4 feet of the TV. And almost nobody is sitting that close to their 4K TV. Now, does that mean that you shouldn't buy a 4K TV? No, absolutely not. Even if you can't tell the difference in resolution, 4K TVs did bring with them HDR, like we were just talking about in our Dolby Vision story, and just higher color gamut and overall just better picture quality and smaller, thinner designs, lower power consumption, a lot of great reasons to get some of the new 4K TVs. But 8K TVs, man, you're not going to notice a difference. You are never going to reasonably be sitting at a distance that would make sense for you to tell the difference between a 1080p TV and an 8K TV in terms of resolution. That's not to say that there won't be more advancements with 8K TVs, but they're going to be a long way off. And what's going to be even further out is 8K content, because 8K is massive. That's going to mean new cameras for everybody, unless they're just upscaling, and upscaling's okay. But if you're going to spend all the money on an 8K TV, you want actual 8K content. So that's not going to be for a long time in terms of disc standards, and perhaps even further out as streaming services, because 8K is 4 times the bandwidth, potentially, depending on how video compression algorithms change over the years. It'll probably come down, but it's going to be an enormous amount of bandwidth to stream an 8K picture. So they're coming. We're going to see a ton of 8K TVs at CES this year. We saw some this year, 9 months ago in Vegas, we had eyes on with some 8K TVs. Heck, last year in 2017, I saw a couple of 8K TVs at CES. It's not really that surprising that these are starting to sound like they could be released to actual consumers, but I think you're probably looking at the middle of next year before any of these actually go on sale, and the price tags are going to be enormous, and there's going to be little to no content at all. So if you're still sitting on a 1080p TV set and thinking it's about time for you to upgrade, should you just skip over 4K and go to 8K? I wouldn't recommend it. There's so many great 4K TVs right now. Go out, look at those, you know, the new TCL sets, the Vizio P series is still nice. Or if you can afford it, the LG OLEDs, oh man, they are still absolutely gorgeous. And you're going to have a hard time finding a better picture than what you can get out of those OLED TVs. This is news about a company and product that I had never heard of before, but it's called Rainway. And it's an app that you run on your gaming computer, your Windows gaming PC. And at its core, it's an app that allows you to stream games from your computer to another device. So say basically any other device with a web browser and plug a controller into it, or maybe it's a PC game, so you're just using keyboard and mouse and you've already got that on another computer. It does all the streaming for you, and they say that they can support 1080p streams at 60 frames per second with ultra low latency. And that's just where all of this starts. This week, they announced a whole lot of plans for the coming year. And the one that really caught my eye is that they're planning to build a client app, so the app that you would use to connect to your gaming PC for the Xbox One. And that means that if you've got some cool PC game, but you want to play it from your couch, maybe on your giant TV, you'll be able to just fire up your Xbox, open up the Rainway app, and stream straight from your gaming computer to your Xbox One. Now, I know what you're thinking. There are other options for this. You could run an HDMI cable from your gaming computer to your TV. Maybe it's on the other side of the house, and that isn't really an option. Or maybe you just don't want to run a 20-foot HDMI cable across your floor to get all the way over to your TV. If this really has as low latency as it says that it does, this could be a far easier setup experience and maybe more than good enough for what you're looking for. Other use cases that I think would make a ton of sense, my very first thought was there are games that I like to play couch co-op with friends when they come over that are only on my PC, and I don't want us huddled around my computer desk. My desk is not designed for multiple people to be sitting in front of it. Maybe I did that when I was 12 at my best friend's house, but things have changed in, well, let's just say quite a few years since I was 12. But the idea of sitting on my couch and playing Cuphead with a friend, that sounds great. So that should be coming to the Xbox One. They're saying in quarter one of 2019, and this is all free, which makes it even better. But that's not all. If it was just a game streaming service, that would still be worth talking about and checking out. But that's not all they're doing. They're working on adding a lot of enhancements to it, one of which is the ability to aggregate all of the games on your computer. One of the big problems with PC gaming is that we have to get our games from lots of different sources. Sure, most games are available on Steam, but what if you want a game from EA? It's only available through Origin, so you have to launch it through Origin. Or maybe you buy a lot of your games from GOG, from Good Old Games. You know, that's another launcher. Maybe you've got the Twitch launcher. Rainway is looking to make all of those games available through a nice user interface that abstracts all of that away from you. It won't matter what service has your games or what service your game came from. It'll just be available in one nice list to pick from. They're also going to be adding the ability to have multiple host. Maybe you've got multiple gaming PCs in your house. Maybe you and your spouse or some of your kids all have their own gaming PCs from any other PC or Xbox One or even mobile devices with Chrome. You could stream from any of them. They're also working on social features like the ability to create a party of people so you can play multiplayer games with friends. Streaming all of this, they're building in screenshot integration, other social features, and then they're also working on a native Android app. So this all sounds really exciting, really promising. I want to get my hands on this. It's available now. Like, the basic service is available now, streaming through a browser. So I'm going to give this a try. I just haven't had a chance to yet, and see how this goes. And then, man, when this becomes available for the Xbox One, yeah, I could absolutely see myself using this. There have been many times when I've wanted to play my PC games in the living room on my 4K TV. And not just because it's 4K, because this won't even stream at 4K. But frankly, my computer couldn't display games at 4K. I don't have that crazy of a video card. But just being able to play some of these more casual games, or frankly, any of them from my living room in front of my TV would be really, really nice. Let's take a quick look at the deals available for video game players this week. On the Xbox side, their deals with Gold is really, like, there's a lot of Xbox One games available this week, and some of them are big name games, like Dark Souls 3 is available for $15. But the big news here, where I think you're really going to want to take a look at this, is they're having a huge backwards compatible title sale. So a large number of Xbox 360 games that you can play on your Xbox One, including a not very well-known title called Red Dead Redemption. Yeah, the sequel to that is coming out in just a couple of months. If you haven't played the first one, here's your opportunity. You can pick it up for under $10 and play it on your Xbox One because it's backwards compatible. So check out that list for sure. There's a ton of games. And because they're Xbox 360 games, they're already fairly inexpensive. And now they're even cheaper. On the PlayStation side, frankly, not super enamored by what I saw over there. They've got a lot of the same games that are on sale on the Xbox, including Dark Souls, and they've got a lot of games from Rockstar and Bandai Namco on sale. So you'll want to check those out if you're a PlayStation player, but really not a whole lot jumping out at me there. And then this is where we're going to make a slight change to how the gaming segment of Entertainment 2.0 goes. Last week, that was the first episode of the month of September, basically, came out on the 31st of August, and we announced all of the new free games for Xbox One and all of the new PlayStation Plus free games. We don't want to go through all of those every week. There's no reason for us to go through those all week. We've still got the links for them in the show notes if you didn't hear us talking about them last week, but we'll give you quick reminders next week when it's about time for some of those titles to switch out, because on the Xbox side, you get new titles on the 16th of the month. So we'll hit all of those next week, and that's it for our gaming news. So digging into what I've been doing in my entertainment center, no hardware changes or anything like that recently. And surprisingly, despite the long holiday weekend here in the United States, I barely played any games. What I did do is watch Jack Ryan on Amazon Prime Video. Watched the first couple of episodes, and I really enjoyed it. Like, I'm not going to say that this is the greatest, you know, CIA-based show ever. It's not so far, but it is really well done. It's good. It can be a little graphic at times, and because it's not on television, they can be as graphic as they want and use as much vulgarity and things like that as they want. So there is going to be some of that, but it's not too crazy. It's not over the top. We're not talking The Walking Dead levels of gruesomeness or anything like that. And we're certainly not talking HBO levels of violence or swearing or nudity. So I'm seeing mostly positive reviews from a lot of the people that I've been talking to. Like I said, I'm only two episodes in. I think there's eight, but I'm definitely going to keep watching this one. I think it's probably only, well, I'm hoping it's only going to get better from here. So I would definitely recommend checking out Jack Ryan. One more announcement here for you. I mentioned that Richard's not here because he's going to be at Cedia this week. And with that comes something new for Richard. He's going to be recording an episode of Home On live from the Cedia show floor, courtesy of the Z-Wave Alliance. He's going to be broadcasting right from the Z-Wave Alliance booth. And we're going to do it live here on the DMZ the way we normally record this show live. So assuming the internet connection that he has on the show floor holds up, there'll be video of him interviewing a lot of people across the smart home space, and there'll be a live chat room. I'll be helping to moderate the chat room and perhaps throwing in a little bit of help on the production side. But assuming all goes well, I think it's going to be a really, really cool experience with, you know, unprecedented access to the Cedia show floor. You know, this is not a show that's open to the public, and only recently has it become a show that has had more of a consumer focus. There's more DIY type stuff that is happening there, or maybe not as much DIY, but at least stuff that you can get yourself, even if it's not targeted at DIY. Plus, of course, all of the audio video stuff that gets announced or at least shown off at Cedia. So you'll want to check that out. That is going to be this coming Friday, that is September 7th at 2 p.m. Eastern is when the live stream is going to go. And it's only going to be about an hour. So you'll want to be there at the beginning to catch all of those interviews. That's it for our news and announcements for this week. If you want to get a hold of us, you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Josh Pollard. Richard, with all of his Cedia news this week, is at Richard Gunther. And the website is at DigiMediaZone, D-I-G-I. Media Zone. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/the DMZ. And of course, we've got those other podcasts for you. Richard's latest episode of Home On is up there for you right now, where he is talking about the Universal Devices ISY devices. And season three of Story Players has officially started. We just released the first episode of our season three. It is covering The Walking Dead, the final season, episode one. So Joe and I have played through that, and we give our full recap and spoilers for the entire episode. And as usual, if you haven't played that episode of The Walking Dead yet, or maybe you haven't played any of them and you're wondering, ugh, the final season? Do I have to go back and play all of them? Well, we spend the first few minutes of the episode giving a non-spoiler introduction to the game, and we answer all the questions of the things you need to know, including which seasons should you play prior to playing the final season. And we've got some pretty good answers for you. So check that out on Story Players if you're into narrative-driven video games. And then, of course, we welcome you to come back next week. We normally record the show live on Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern with the chat room and live video for that also. It's a lot of fun, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. So hopefully we'll see you back here next Tuesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, because that's going to do it for episode 458. I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.